This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Broncos country, let's rock.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I've been pleased with his progress and where he's at.
Quarterback Russell Wilson, he will be released after the league year begins on March 13th.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman, Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy, still to come, Emmy award-winning actor Beau Bridges. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Fun show so far. We last hour had Bruce Feldman in studio. Xavier Worthy, the fastest man in the history of the scouting combine, zoomed in, and he was delightful. Right, guys? It was a total delight, wasn't he?
Yep.
Somebody to root for right there.
Absolutely.
Hour number one, Daniel Jeremiah helped run through the combine. One of the things we talked about with Bruce Feldman, Caleb Williams, and whether, you know, who he is and what plans he has to try and manipulate the draft in any way, shape, or form. He started talking about his father, Caleb Williams' dad. Well, Matt Cushman is in the green room right now.
Cushlash.
The dad of the top prospect in Jerry Maguire. Right. Jerry O'Connell's dad, right?
Right,
yes. Yeah.
That's right.
One of the many Cush roles of our third hour in-studio guest, Beau Bridges' career. He's coming out here on The Rich Eisen Show in support of his new film, The Neon Highway, available in the theaters next week on March 15th. And we've got a great celebrity, true or false, to run down with him. Because there's lots that we need to have clearing up. We may or may not have a photograph of his dad from Airplane all teed up. We did that with Jeff, too, didn't we, when he came in here? So basically, by the end of this hour, we'll have both fabulous Baker boys in the Rich Eisen Show guest archives. We're thrilled to have Beau Bridges here. I'm a big fan, and I can't wait to have him out here shortly. Your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, is a number to dial as well. Every year, I come back from the Combine, and I do a top five list of the hottest rumors, the craziest rumors I've heard at the Combine. And I take my Medill School of Journalism graduate degree off the wall, and I just place it up against the wall.
Turn it backwards.
Because they're not my professors are not happy with me. Because it's all rumors, although I do want to make sure I hear it from multiple people before I say that into this microphone.
Yeah, you teased us over text with the Cowboys one. You're like, I'm hearing something.
I just heard something.
And I need more people to say the same thing.
And then I heard it.
Yeah.
You know, and then many of in this world of aggregation then throw it out like I'm reporting, which I appreciate in a way because that means I have a certain standard that I normally
evince
in 364 other days of the year. Giants sites are having a field day with me saying I heard multiple times that the Giants are done with Daniel Jones and have buyer's remorse.
Done.
Okay. But as I pointed out, though, they may have to use him this year. So we'll see what they do with that top pick in the draft. And if they choose a quarterback, then I'll be have this rumor proven correct, I think. That said, the one that, again, that jumped out at me that I heard the first time was the Dallas Cowboys, the Jerry Jones all-in concept is not getting a whole bunch of free agents in to boost up a team that was so terrific in the regular season and might have needed this boost in the playoffs against Green Bay. And that they were going to go all in this season with a bunch of players. As Jerry Jones said, we're going to go all in on players that we normally don't go all in on. And again, I thought that meant because they normally draft and they pay their own and they really don't go free agent shopping like crazy. I thought that meant they're going to go free agent shopping. Screw the salary cap, right? Credit card charges for later on. We'll have enough to pay CD and pay Micah. And they just have to extend Dak first because he's on the cap charge this year, $59 million and change. $59 million in change. And I heard at the Combine, the concept of all-in was, I'll make him play it out. Because they're going to go all-in this year, meaning they're not going to extend Dak and give him more years after he's only delivered, what, a couple of playoff wins so far?
Retired Tom Brady.
You know. No, I know. Okay. Father Time might have done that.
Well, I'm just saying anyone else and should I get think credit that's for what, that. No,
you do hear the conversation about the Cowboys that they haven't won playoff games at all under Mike McCarthy.
People forget.
Right. That they haven't won, that they haven't advanced the divisional round by winning a wild card game, which they did, you know, 2 years ago. Right? So.
I mean, how can you shrug your shoulders? It's a yes or no question.
He's got two playoff wins. Like, come on. Like, what are we doing?
That's the point.
Settle down just a little bit.
That's the point. Brock Purdy got two playoff wins this year. Right?
Purdy has more playoff career wins than Dak.
So that's where you're hearing that the all-in is they're going to make him play it out. They're not going to extend him. They're not going to make more room to try and bring in reinforcements, star reinforcements. Dak was at a local charity making an appearance yesterday and was asked about what his thoughts are on what Jerry Jones means by going all in.
Jerry says all in. What does that mean to you as far as next year?
When he says all in on next year?
Yeah. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I've heard that one. Okay. Yeah, I'm excited to see it, honestly. I don't know. I can't say I've had talks with him about what is all in and how you plan on making those moves. So, but... yeah, let's see. I'm excited for it.
How hopeful are you that you can get a deal done?
Say again?
How hopeful are you that you can get a deal done?
Yeah, I'm definitely confident. Obviously, it helps the team. It's important for the numbers. I've heard Jerry said that. It's kind of helped me out here and told me that part, right? That that is a process. Both sides understand that. Everything's great. I know it'll happen.
It'll happen. Doesn't know what all in means because I don't know either. But it's kind of wild where he's, because it, by the way, this just in, extending Dak, that it's better for the team
saves
and it's
the
better for the cap and it's better to get more players in. That's a fact. But if Jerry's like done with the losing in the playoffs and he thinks the best way to win in the playoffs this year is to tell Dak, what you see is what you're going to get mostly, with the exception of a draft and the exception of some free agents that aren't of the level of, say, Derrick Henry or DeAndre Hopkins, the two players we constantly keep mentioning here, because you add D-Hop, you add the diminisher to what they had last year, and look out. Or, say, Saquon, who might hit the market, or say Josh Jacobs, who looks like he's hitting the market, or fill in the blank with one dynamic superstar player that can be added to Dak and also CeeDee Lamb, and off you go. But he's saying it'll get done. Like I said, what I heard at the Combine, and it could be total posturing, and it may absolutely be getting done as we even speak. But I heard at the Combine, that is not the concept of all-in. Concept of all-in is we're going to make everybody play for the right to stay for the Dallas Cowboys as coach or player. And that includes Dak Prescott. And they're willing to pay $59 million on the cap this year. And because they're unable to franchise tag him next year, look at Dak and say, hey, great season. We love you. How about you stay here? And, you know, the floor is less than the amount of a cap charge that we paid for you last year. How would that go over? It's a wild approach and concept of all in. I'll tell you that. Overreaction Monday podcast is out there for everybody to listen to. We react to everything that happened at the Combine and set the stage for free agency. That's wherever you get your pods, thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network, which means today is an Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday segment day on the Rich Eisen Show. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
Hey. All right, Christopher, I fall for that all the time. I don't know why I do that.
All right, guys, here we go. Some leftover thoughts from the weekend that was. After an impressive NFL Combine, Michael Penix going to be drafted in the top 15.
I can't argue with it. I can't argue with it. Can't sit here and say that's out of the realm. Like, that's a total overreaction. Wow, you upgraded it because our podcast starts with five quarterbacks in the top 20. Now you just went, you're pushing it to the limits.
I saw some mocks last night, upgraded.
It's like one of those reentry scenes in a space movie. Like now we're shaking. We're pushing everything to the limits. The nuts and the bolts are coming loose. I mean, Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, not everybody's going to figure out in free agency, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. Let's just say Vikings keep Kirk.
Okay.
Falcons get Justin Fields.
Okay.
That leaves Bears, Commanders, Patriots / Giants.
Yep.
Or Patriots and Giants. And then it leaves the Broncos needing one and the Raiders needing one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's not an overreaction. I think I just mapped it out where we can get five in the first 15 right there. And the free agent pieces land. Baker stays put.
Right.
And the Steelers do what we all expect them to do.
You know.
Which is Kenny Pickett and maybe Russ.
Oh, sorry.
If that happens. No. I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you. Not an overreaction. I think that's entirely possible. What else, Chris?
How about this one?
Yes.
Zero defensive players.
In the top 10?
Drafted in the top 10.
I will say that's still an overreaction. How about that?
It's been a while, I think, that this has happened.
Because, again, if the Falcons get, like, Justin Fields or get Cousins, that might be a spot where Raheem Morris is like, let's go get Dallas Turner. Let's go get one of those corners. You know, let's go get one of those corners.
Terrion
Arnold
too.
From Alabama is really good and a delight. Like, that's the guy that you want to put out in the community too and on an island. So I'll call this an overreaction at the moment. Because it's rare. That's a rarity to just have one side of the football represent almost the first third of an NFL draft.
And it'll be three positions, quarterback, tackle, and wide receiver.
I'm with you. I hear you. So I'll call that an overreaction for the moment.
Let's turn up the heat.
Okay.
TJ, 2024 will be Dak's final year as Cowboys quarterback.
You want to answer this one?
Nope.
Come on.
Wait, no, you're not answering, or...
Oh, no, I don't want to answer this.
Oh, why? No, you disagree.
Because this is overreaction
Tuesday. No, it's not. But it's not.
I only chime in when your head is in a trash bag throwing up. That's the only time I
chime in. Oh, wow. He really went there. And with Beau Bridges in the green room, he doesn't know that I vomited in this trash can a couple weeks ago.
Get your damn act together.
That's right. So you don't want to answer it? You have to answer it now.
Okay. 2024 will not be that Prescott's last.
I agree.
Year as the Cowboys starting quarterback.
I agree.
I don't know, man.
I agree.
I'm with you, Brockman.
How old is Jerry Jones?
Two things. One, despite me saying I heard this rumor, because it's a rumor, I'm not reporting it. I'm telling you what I heard.
You took some joy in it.
I do not care if it's proven wrong and people are like, Rich, you were wrong, and I'll be. This is not my facts or anything like that that I am reporting. It's what everyone is talking about because this is what they heard and have been told, quite frankly, by members of the Cowboys organization. You know, so again, it could be posturing. I think at the end of the day, they're going to extend Dak. They have to. It's just madness. Otherwise, I think madness.
I'm not ready for Cooper Rush to take over as the starting quarterback.
Jerry Jones likes madness.
Or they will do what I'm talking about, or what I heard, play it out, and then be held over another barrel by Dak, and sign him to an insane contract again. and figure out, all right, we just paid from 50-something million on the cap this year. We'll do something similar next. Figure it out. Keep kicking the can down the road. We love Dak.
But that's a best guess. Like a Joe Flacco scenario. Like, I'm going to make you play it out. You win a Super Bowl. Then, great. We'll pay you now.
So.
I think.
That's an overreaction. What else, Chris? What else?
You guys are haters, man.
All right. We talked about it off the top. The Broncos
says
deal.
Says a guy who brought up the fact I vomited in a trash can.
Was it a secret?
Just because I asked you a question to try and answer
it. Like it was a secret? Chris told everybody about it when it happened.
Deflecting. Broncos deal for Russell Wilson, worst trade in NFL history.
I don't know. The Herschel one's pretty damn bad, too.
That was great, though.
But this one also involves they signed him.
They signed him to a contract extension. They didn't have to do it.
$254 million.
They didn't have to do that. $124
million of it. They did. $124 million guaranteed. And he won't play a down on the contract. And it's going to cost him $85 million in dead cap. So you put it all together, that is not an overreaction. I am sorry. And I hate that Russell Wilson's name is associated with that.
Brutal, man.
Yeah.
But that's a fact. I mean, no matter what Herschel was, it didn't chew up the cap like that.
No.
My goodness gracious. What else, Chris?
Last one. Saquon Barkley looked like he's going to be a free agent. He's going to win more playoff games next year.
Than the Giants?
Than the NFC East.
Oh, wow.
That's just.
Wow.
I like this one.
The disrespect is real.
Wow. Can we put a pin in this one and while I find out where he goes if he does leave the Giants?
Oh, he's leaving, Rich. I'm pretty sure of that.
I think even if he goes to the Bears, he's going to win more playoff games.
Can we just put a pin in this? What if he returns to the Giants? What if they figure it out? And then so then he'll win more playoff games in the NFC East last year means that
Cowboys and Eagles. I mean,
no, then the NFC East, he would be in the NFC East. That would blow this thing up.
Can we just put a pin, I normally need to answer
the question, but I need to see where he goes. If he goes to the Chargers, I'll say yes.
Yeah.
For instance.
Yes, sir.
Okay. For instance.
What if he goes to the Chiefs?
Then I'll,
I mean, obviously,
I would be shocked at that, but
that's not their move.
Yeah, not on the table.
That's not their jam.
Not with Pacheco there.
That's not what they do.
Yeah.
They're the ones who proved you don't have to. They just beat the guy with the biggest salary at the position, or the team with the guy, because that guy was pretty amazing in the game.
He was.
So, put a pin in it. Please, the day that Saquon does sign somewhere.
Bring it back.
Probably next week. We'll figure it out. We'll bring it back.
I'd imagine a week from now.
But put a pin in this. You had me at hello. Speaking of which, a man in Jerry Maguire is coming out of our green room right now. The great actor and Emmy Award winner, Bo Bridges, will be here in studio next in support of his film, The Neon Highway. We're going to go down a nice road with this man when we come back. Let's talk Game Time tickets, people. It's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for events near you. Right now, all users get $100 off when they buy a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Game Time is the ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. I get to see the view from my seat before I buy with Game Time tickets. I also have all-in prices with Game Time tickets. Shows you your total up front before you buy. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. Right now, all Game Time users get $100 off a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Just download the Game Time app and use code VEGAS100 for $100 off a big game ticket. Or if you're not going to the game, use code EISEN, EISEN, for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
The Neon Highway is in theaters near you next week, March 15th. And our radio audience just joined us. We just showed to our Roku channel audience a clip with Beau Bridges, who's here on the Rich Eisen Show. And again, it's just, it is great to see you here. Is it true in this film that all the performance scenes were recorded live in this film?
Yeah. Which again made me nervous because I hadn't been out there. You know, music has always been a hobby of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I got my first guitar when I was age 16. I got an old Dan Electro, kind of garage guitar, very inexpensive. But then I got into sports. I love playing sports. And so I handed my guitar off to my little brother, Jeff, when he was about eight. And he just took it over and got really good on it. And then he sold my guitar to one of his friends, you know, when he was just a young guy. And if he hadn't done that, that guitar would probably be worth thousands of dollars.
Yes, I imagine so. How much did you make for his guitar back in the day? Do you remember?
I don't know. No, but yeah, but I've always loved playing music and doing a little composing. But this was really exciting to be in here with these guys.
What did you like about the role? Again, you're playing a country music star who's past his prime, but then there's a younger star who has an accident and needs to light his flame for his passion for music again. So what did you enjoy about this?
I think what's important to me when I first read the script was this idea that as you get older, it's important to find a purpose for being. I mean, it's important at any age to have a purpose.
Sure.
But especially when you're older, it tends sometimes lose that flame you're talking about. And this is about a guy who gets it back. He loses it and gets it back.
And it's in the theaters near you again. Next week, March 15th, you play Claude Allen in this film with Rob Mays and TJ Power and some serious talents at music. And you're holding your own in it, man.
Yeah, we're going to go to Nashville on the 13th. It has its premiere. That'll be fun. That's a great city.
You're going to go to Lower Broadway and just start performing?
Oh, absolutely. Oh. Not perform.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to walk up and down and listen to all the other great people.
Yeah, the NFL draft was a few years ago, and they turned Lower Broadway into essentially the draft hall. And it really was. It really was. Just walking up and down and just going in all of these places. And I remember one night, I'm like, all right, I'm going to do some karaoke in here. And then I saw these are like some real musicians that were getting up there.
Oh, yeah, they're so good.
These real deal people that are strolling around
absolutely.
That city. For sure. Beau Bridges here on the Rich Eisen Show. We have a segment here, sir, where we like to go through somebody's career and their life based on what we see on the internet to see if what's true or what's false. And we ask you, okay, so let's do it right now. And as always, we have some terrific production value along with it. Beau Bridges, celebrity true or false. Hit it right here. Go ahead and hit it.
Celebrity, true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
There you go. That's our production plan. There you go. All right. First up, celebrity, true or false with Beau Bridges. True or false, in your youth, you would act out intense film scenes atop a flatbed truck in front of a supermarket, and it drew the ire of local law enforcement. True or false?
What was the last part?
That local law enforcement was not happy that you were doing this, that they had to take you down off the truck.
No, they were actually supportive.
That's good.
When you're talking about it is I would take my brother along with me when he was young, about 16 years old. We'd get on the back of a flatbed truck, and then to get an audience, we'd stage a fight. We'd fight each other because our dad taught us how to stage fight and street fight, so we'd do that. And then people would come around. And then we'd jump up on the back of the truck and perform scenes from, some show or something. But we always checked out the police before we did it because we didn't want to get arrested.
So wait a minute. You draw a crowd by stage fight, like acting like you're fighting?
Yeah.
Then the crowd would come around?
Then we'd jump up on the on the thing. And
so
do it.
It'd be like getting the attention by fighting.
That's right.
And while we have your attention, here's a scene. It's like, that's the way it would work.
You got to bring him in any way you can.
Wow. Okay. And so you checked in with law enforcement beforehand.
First. Oh, absolutely.
Like I said, this is fake. Don't break it up. We're just trying
to
get a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
So what would you perform on the flatbed truck? Just to...
Well, I remember Jeff and I once did scenes from Come Blow Your Horn.
Okay. That's what you would do back in the day.
We had a little funky, microphone set up there and everything.
Okay. The second one here, we're fascinated about this story, and we're wondering if it is in fact true. True or false, Bo Bridges, you got into a scuffle with Gary Cooper on the set of High Noon.
Well, got into a what?
Scuffle. A fight.
No. My dad got into a scuffle with him.
Not you?
When I was a kid, my dad used to take me on location. So we went to Sonora, where he's filming High Noon.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you can come out to the set this morning. I'm going to be in a fight scene with Gary Cooper, which turned out to be one of the classic fight scenes in movie westerns, if you remember. He said, you can come, but you got to keep your mouth shut. Mr. Cooper is not feeling really 100%. I'm going to find a nice place for you where you can be up and watch it. Just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's all, choreographed. It's going to look pretty rough, but no one's getting hurt. So just relax up there and you can watch it. So we go. They found me a spot up in a hayloft, and I'm looking down. And they get into it, and it goes off. And it's a wild fight. I mean, these guys... No stunt guys, just my dad and Mr. Cooper.
Uh-huh.
And they're rolling around underneath horses, and it was crazy. But I knew my dad said no one's going to get hurt, so I was okay with it. I'm watching. But he did not prepare me for the last thing, which was he started to get on his horse, and Cooper hits him with a straight right and knocks him cold. He goes to the ground, and I'm thinking, okay, it's all right. He's all right. It's all planned. But then Cooper goes over, fills up a pail of water, and goes over and throws the water on top of my dad. And I cracked up, busted out laughing, and just ruined the take.
No way!
Yeah. And then now we're going back to the hotel, and my dad is pissed. He says, I told you to keep your mouth shut. I could get fired over this. Mr. Cooper's not feeling well. Blah, blah, blah. Get back to the hotel. Now we're waiting to go up the elevator to get something to eat. I'm just feeling terrible. And who walks up to get into the elevator but Mr. Cooper? And my dad says, how you doing, Coop? You feeling okay? And he says, yeah, I'm okay. And I'm thinking, oh, God, here it goes. And then Mr. Cooper said, how would you folks like to join me for dinner?
Hey!
And I went, oh.
See, now that's a great story. Believe it or not, the story that you got into a scuffle with Gary Cooper on the set of High Noon is on the website of the Oscars. Yeah. Oscars.org is where we pulled that one from.
Yeah,
we got to update that information.
Wow.
Let them know that.
Great story.
While we're on the subject of your dad, let's just hit a timeout button here. So for people my age, obviously I have seen your dad and I know who he is and his legend. But for people my age, the first time I was introduced to him was when he was sniffing glue on airplane.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's the first way I got introduced to your dad. What was your perspective of watching him do this?
My dad was a real straight arrow.
Yeah.
And he was very concerned. My brother and I were... not dabbling in any of the drugs that were coming around at that time.
Yes.
And he would question us all the time. So when that movie came out and we saw it, we gave him so much trouble over that. I said, you know what? I said, you are a hero to so many young people. How could you, in your role, advertise sniffing glue? What a terrible thing to do. And he, you know, we worked it pretty good over that.
That's the way I was introduced to him, you know, and my parents had to basically say, no, let me tell you about Lloyd Bridges. Okay. And I'm like, wow, the guy who sniffed glue on Airplane is a real deal, you know, and Leslie Nielsen pretty much as well, you know, he was a straight actor from his filmography, and he did that.
But Leslie, he was quite a character, you know, he. You know about his whoopee cushion, right?
Yeah. Did you ever, were you ever?
Oh, God. In elevators, you know. Leslie would go in there with a straight face. The people in the elevator look at him. What the hell?
I love that. And then, of course, your dad had a great run on Seinfeld as well as Mandelbaum.
Yeah, that made us nervous.
Why?
Because he... He was probably about my age. He was in his 80s, and he was doing, like, pratfalls and stuff on that
show.
And
the barbells, right?
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, that kind of stuff. And but he pulled it off.
He did. Well, I mean, that was his character. He wasn't going to be told that he couldn't be lifting his lifting
now,
weights.
Now, I'm going to ask you and your listeners.
Yes.
You don't have to tell. You probably won't know the answer to this. But if you were a fan of my father,
yes.
What was the name of his boat on Sea Hunt?
Oh my goodness, Mikey, you want to help out on that one?
No, I know.
What was the name of his boat?
Maybe if I give you the theme song, it'll help you.
Okay. Dun, da, da, da. Was it Rawhide?
No.
Oh God, no.
It starts with an A. I'll give you the first syllable.
What are you on? Argonaut. Look at us.
Very good.
Thank you. My producers are very, very, very good. Got Beau Bridges here on the Rich Eisen. Okay, continuing celebrity, true or false? True or false, you played basketball for John Wooden at UCLA and were able to draw on that experience when you portrayed him in a one-man show.
Yes, a lot of that is true.
Okay.
Not so much playing for John Wooden.
Okay.
I sat.
On the bench. Okay, but, so you sat for John Wooden.
I was on the freshman team at UCLA back in the day when you couldn't play varsity when you were a freshman.
Yes,
and it was a great experience because he was we maintained a friendship. Up until he died, you know, almost at 100. And what an incredible man. I did a lot of his voice on his books, and I would introduce him at different events when he was awarded things. He would say we were a dog and pony show, you know. But you're familiar with his Pyramid of Success,
of course,
probably, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
For those who have never heard of this, I would recommend you Google up... Coach Wooden's Pyramid of Success. It's incredible. And, you know, the guy won almost 10 straight national championships in a row. No one will ever come close to that.
We have it on our set, as a matter of fact. Mike, why don't you just go grab it and hold it up?
The whole idea is the blocks of characters, things that you need to find success.
We believe it's signed by Wooden, is it not? That's what we have.
Yeah, wow. I found this
and
at a...
Coach.
Yeah.
Success had nothing to do with winning.
Mm-hmm.
It had to do with finding peace of mind. And how do you find peace of mind? By leaving the task knowing that you've done your very best. And the two cornerstones of the pyramid, one enthusiasm, joy, and the other one industriousness, hard work. Because Coach said anybody can come to the task with hard work, but when you bring it in combination with joy, that's when great things happen.
I think we have a photo of you playing high school hoops. As a matter of fact, there you are.
Oh, there I am.
How many points a game, Bo? What do you got?
I averaged 1.5 points a game.
Come on.
Yes, and I think I got one or two rebounds or something.
Looks like a good defensive posture, though. At least looks like you're.
Yeah,
looks like you're.
What a great time, I guess the year, maybe a couple of years, I can't remember when Kareem came in there, but do you remember that his freshman team beat the varsity that had won the whole thing.
Makes sense. You know. So I guess that was my follow-up before I have one more for you, is while you were sitting for Coach Wooden, who was playing for him? Who are your teammates?
Our center was, you know, people usually think that Coach won all his championships with big, tall centers, but our center, Fred Slaughter, was 6'6", but he was, you know, built like a brick house. He was a force. And let's see, who else? Larry Gower was on the team. He went up and played a little varsity. Yeah, but that was it for me. I went out for track.
Okay.
Because they had a race in tennis shoes for the freshman team.
Uh-huh.
And I won the race.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone was excited. They said, you got to go out for track. And I said, oh, okay. I'll try it. I never had. So I went out there and I trained for like a couple months, learning how to come out of the blocks. And this young kid from Jefferson High School, I can't remember his name, he'd run like just under 900.
Right.
I mean, just under 1,000. And so after I worked out a little bit, they had a match race for us. First time I'd been timed. Had a gun and everything. You know, I'm in the blocks.
Mm-hmm.
I come out of the blocks. I'm running, and this guy's right there. And I was told, you know, you never turn your head. You got to keep straight ahead.
Right.
So I'm doing that, and I beat him by about like this.
Hey.
And I'm thinking, man, this is a whole new career for me opening up. And I ran over to the coaches, and they're all laughing at me. And I said, what's going on? What was my time? He said, your time was 11-2. And I said, 11-2, but I beat him. He says, yeah, he fell. You cannot just beat him like that.
That's funny.
Track is tough.
Oh, no doubt. Last one for you, Bo Bridges. Yes, true or false, your brother Jeff convinced you your fabulous Baker Boys character should have thinning hair and offer to shave it himself. Is that true?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's true. Yeah, we were having a couple of glasses of wine one night before we did the thing. And he said, you know, you're supposed to, your hair is supposed to be thinning, and you don't want to have a ball pate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was right about that. You know, where I've had that done before, where they put a thing on you and big makeup deal in the chair. And I said, okay, but not too much, please. And he just screwed me up, man. He just shaved me so bad. And then, you know, when it grows out like a little corkscrew.
Sure.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, okay. So that is true.
I
love that movie. That movie is just an absolute classic. I had the soundtrack and everything in college. I played the hell out of it. And it was awesome.
That movie, you know, my career has been kind of a roller coaster ride. And then at that particular time, I was kind of dipping down in my the different options I had.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the script first. He was cast, and they wanted to cast as his brother someone that was, you know, riding high, one of the young, new actors coming out, and or not new, the ones who were established.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother said, no, I want my brother to play. Young Steve Clovis was directing.
Right.
And so I went and had lunch with Steve, and I brought a little Polaroid photograph of Jeff and I on the back of that.
How about that?
The back of that truck. And I think that's what helped me get that job.
Well, it's a good thing you staged the fight to begin with, right?
Yeah.
Get you on the truck. Fantastic. Bo, what a pleasure. Everybody check out The Neon Highway in theaters next week from Mountain Movies. Bo Bridges here on The Rich Eisen Show. What a pleasure having you on. Anytime you want to come back, love to chit-chat more. We barely scratched the surface on your career, so
cool.
We can keep going. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me on.
You bet. That's Bo Bridges. Again, everyone check out The Neon Highway in theaters near you next week. We're back to wrap up this show in a moment.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
Let's get to it with the Big Lebowski. How were you introduced to that film?
I ran into the Coen brothers a couple of years before that, I guess, at a party, and they said, we're writing something for you. I say, oh, great, because I was a big fan of Blood Simple and some other earlier films. And then I got the script, and I said, what? This is not like anything I've done. Were you spying? Did you crash some of my high school parties? And where did this guy come from?
Was that character based on anybody that you know?
Yeah, it was based on a guy named Jeff Dowd. For them, they used him quite a bit. I met him. He came on the script. I didn't use him too much. I really referenced myself. and the script, you know.
When did you realize that this film would become, in many ways, you can't even call it a cult. It's a classic. It's just a flat-out classic now.
Yeah, yeah.
For the Big Lebowski.
I was surprised, because we had a great time making it, and we were all, laughing and, thinking, this was a fun movie. We didn't think it was going to be anything like it was today, but I was surprised when it first came out and did nothing. It was like, kind of a bomb. And then it played in Europe, and they got it. And then it splashed back over on our shores, and he grew to become
as one of our colleagues on this show has a friend who went to a Lebowski bar in Iceland.
We have Lebowski fests. I've been to one. I played with my band at a Lebowski fest. That was my Beatle moment, man. Can you imagine? The dude! Playing to a sea of dudes and bowling pins and moms. It was just totally surreal. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. So Jeff has been on the show as well. Back here on our program, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I got to be honest with you again. Fabulous Baker Boys was one of my favorite movies in the 80s in college. I would just listen to the soundtrack. Obviously, I was head over heels for Michelle Pfeiffer. And so that film was outstanding. And just to share the fact that I'm now sitting on a show with my name on it, which would have been a dream of mine in college, that both Baker Boys have now appeared on, Jeff Bridges in 2017 and Bo today. So
now
just going to talk to Liz through the camera. There is one missing individual that we need to book, to complete the circle. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
I'm just glad you love the movie in color. That's all.
No, wow. My goodness gracious. That's slander. It's slander.
Such a
slander.
Nice moment.
It's slander.
It's slander. Nice
you know what? You know what it is, though? You know what it is, It's ignorant. It's ignorant. You're an ignorant person when it comes to movies. Ignorant. Just because it's made in black and white. There are classics in black and white.
Susie Diamond was classics. Living Technicolor in that movie, Rich.
But you're off the point. You're off the point. The point is he's ignorant. You still haven't finished the Manchurian Candidate, have you?
Oh, no.
It's still sitting there on your DVR 3 years later.
It's
pause.
Not even on his DVR anymore.
They haven't seen me because I haven't seen The Wolf of
Morons.
Wall Street, but they haven't seen he hasn't seen Classic. You have, TJ. I know you.
I mean, Wolf of Wall Street and Manchurian Candidate, though, Mike.
Come on.
It's like,
get out of here. Stop it. We shouldn't even spend another second on that slanderous statement. Franchise tags.
Going down.
What do we have? What do we have? Who's been franchised?
Bears tagging Jalen Johnson. Jaguars.
That's not a surprise.
Jaguars tagging Josh Allen.
Yep.
Bucks tagging Antoine Winfield Jr.
That's not a surprise either. Which means, by the way, Baker can walk. By the way.
Yes.
Okay. What else?
Ravens tagging Justin Madubuike. Yep. Panthers
not a surprise there
tagging
either.
Brian Burns. Patriots transition tag Kyle Duggar. No tag for Saquon and a bunch of these other.
Or any other and the other running backs. Every running back can walk.
Every running back. Dalton Schultz got a 3-year deal from Houston.
Okay, so somebody actually struck a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a couple guys getting cut.
Bunch of guys getting cut. Quadre Diggs and Jamal Adams on Seattle and Will Disley frees up about $30 million and change for Seattle. A lot going on right now.
Let me just say this. Do you think the Panthers would trade Brian Burns to the Rams for the million draft choices that apparently the Rams offered him?
Seems like they should have taken that deal back in the day.
One last thing here. I've been offering a lot of unsolicited scents to the Giants. A lot. Okay? And I'm thrilled that Joe Shane called in the show after what I was talking about. Their handling of the Saquon thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope next time I see him, he still talks to me. But this team without Saquon Barkley would be on the offensive end thoroughly uninteresting to Giants fans. And that's with all due respect, and I know that's disrespectful to the other talented players that they have, skilled position players, but this guy is a star. And I'm sure they're going to be like, listen, we love you. He was their Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee this year. And they're going to let him see what the market looks like. I guess that's what they're planning on doing. And saying, if you want something that's like $13, $14, $15, $16 million, go find it. I don't understand it. Certainly when your plan is X, and now you find out that the salary cap is probably going up double what you expected. We can't figure out how to give a slice of that to this guy and keep him there. And I'm not saying that they're going to lose him. I mean, the next day they have 8 more days. But the fact that they're willing to let him walk is kind of blowing my mind right now. And I know he's got an injury history. I get it. And I guess they could find somebody in the draft. Man, this is going to be wild. Derrick Henry's going to be on the free agent market. He's on the free agent market. Austin Eckler's on the free agent market. Josh Jacobs is on the free agent market. They're all out there. And I guess everyone's going to take the Chiefs approach. But the Chiefs approach works because they got the right quarterback. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the approach. You got the dominant quarterback. You don't need to spend $15-16 million on your running back. And all I keep saying is, look at the San Francisco 49ers. Do you think they would have made the NFC Championship game without McCaffrey?
Well, he literally scored a touchdown in every game but one.
That's what I'm saying. Saquon doesn't have the same production. I'm trying to, you know, give pushback to my own initial gut thoughts. But the Giants' offense is just sometimes very difficult to watch, and certainly because Daniel Jones has not been playing as well as he did in the year they made the playoffs, certainly in that playoff game. And I believe that they, from what I heard, again, what I don't believe that this is the case 100% because it's all rumor. I didn't hear it directly. All this stuff I don't hear directly from a team, and then I call it a rumor to cover my tracks. It's literally what everyone's talking about at the Combine. That's why I have a top 5 rumors I overheard at the Combine segment, and I bring it here. But it looks like their decision that they made at the quarterback position last year is something that they would like to undo. Saquon is additive, man. I just don't get it. But I hope that they do make this deal because he's great for New York. He's great for the Giants. Giants fans deserve a star player like that. And I think you need that pizzazz in New York. You got to do it. I'm going to say this over and over and over again for the next 8 days. So rinse and repeat. And if I'm the Chargers, I say, hey, man, you like Southern California? And Jim goes and uses him as the battering ram. Get out of here. That wraps up this show. We'll set up the rest of the week on the Roku channel in a moment.
Movies, TV shows, books, podcasts, and more. It's What Women Binge with Melissa Joan Hart and her friend Amanda Lee.
We have Lauren Bosworth with us.
Yay!
The Hills. So what is like your number one question from fans?
The primary question I still get asked was, what, is it real? In 2024, to me, is a surprising question to get because I feel like everybody has been through the reality TV gauntlet at this point.
What Women Binge, wherever you listen.